to everything turn. There is a season turn.
All right, that is the Birds with Turn, Turn, Turn. Before that, we heard Grand Funk with Locomotion and Muddy Waters, the same thing. Love that tune. It's time for the Garden Conversation, which is underwritten by Jewel Gardens in Skagway in loving memory of Charlotte Jewel and her vision for the gardens as a community space for peace, inspiration, and in education. And here is Melissa.
Good morning.
And Kate.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah.
We're taking some deep breaths here.
Yeah, we're sharing the stories of our morning. We're Okay, we're all in great shape today. Well, this morning we're going to talk a little quick reminder about the plant sale that's coming up, and then we're going to talk about using alternatives to plastic in the garden. So first of all, on the plant sale, that is Saturday, May 11th, which is coming up pretty soon, 10 to noon, and it's in the ANS Hall. That's a change of venue. We used to do it in the cafeteria, but we've outgrown that location. So again, at the ANS Hall.
And it's so sunny in there that you could put plants by the window and everything else at the ANB Hall.
And 10% of the proceeds go to Haynes Friends Recycling to cover our advertising and rental costs and so on.
Nice.
There's always lots of great plants to buy, and it is the day before Mother's Day, so good chance to maybe get some
nice gifts.
Nice gifts.
Nice gifts.
Those of you that hadn't thought about it until, the day before. For more information, you can give me a call at 766-2185. So we're going to talk mostly today about plastics and gardening and alternatives to plastics. We had our Earth Day program this last weekend on plastic pollution and solutions, and it really got me thinking a lot more about plastic uses in the garden. We had a display up where we asked people for ideas for substitutes for plastics. So we're going to talk about some of those this morning. The pros of plastic: it lasts a long time and it's cheap. The cons of plastic: a lot of critters get caught in it. Mario Benassi was mentioning that if we put fish nets up in our garden for things to climb on or so on, there's a real problem with raptors getting caught.
I found that even with bird netting, when I have to put up for my fruit, I have to keep checking every day because little birds do get caught in it, and you have to get them out of there quick.
And he reported three raptors that he's taken out of fish nets that had died getting caught in the fish nets. So I'd never thought about that, but that was a
point. That's a good thing to know, because I was thinking of putting that over my cherry trees to keep the birds out of them.
Unfortunately, you do have to put something over your trees to keep the birds out, but do go check every day, because little birds, I've even pulled small marlins, have gotten caught in the netting before.
I could definitely see that, because the birds like the trees.
They do.
They like the fruit trees for sure.
An alternative to that is to hang shiny tape.
Or CDs or something.
CDs, aluminum cans.
Okay, I was thinking more of the bears, but I guess an electric fence would be
electric
the way.
Electric fence for bears.
Yeah, the netting's not going to keep the bears out.
An
electric fence will.
Yeah. If you hang something in the tree to keep the birds away, you want to make sure and do it just before the fruit's getting ripe, because the birds adapt quickly. They're smart.
Okay.
And they'll figure out that the CDs are not scary. And cherries are much worth the risk.
Right. That shiny red ball.
So we also talked at the Earth Day about microplastics in the guts of animals, including humans now, causing blockages and slow, painful death. So you want to be really careful about that. And somebody sent me a link yesterday that was talking about how microplastics are now being found in rainwater.
Yeah, I saw that. I use rainwater to water my garden. I was very disturbed to see that.
So it's like every place. Pets will also eat plastics, and they'll get blockages and can die of that. So there are really a lot of things to pay attention to there in terms of the mechanical aspect. chemically, as plastics break down, they release all sorts of unknown chemicals, including arsenic and endocrine disruptors, which are the hormone replacement type chemicals. So lots of things to think about with that. And most plastic pots are number five, and so they're not recyclable.
So they're not recyclable anywhere or just in Hanes?
They're not recyclable in Hanes, and they're not recyclable a lot of other places. Because plastics are made out of petrochemicals, if the oil prices are really high, then number fives might be recyclable. But when oil prices are low, as they are relatively low now, then it's not recyclable.
Okay, because that's your yogurt, your Cool Whip. Butter containers, that's
right,
a lot
all sorts of things. Yeah. So it's time for us to start really thinking about alternatives to a lot of those. On the other hand, if you have stuff that is made out of plastic, use it till it's worn out. And there's nothing like a walk around to see how much plastic there is. It's
amazing.
Yeah.
But the plastic pots, I just use them as long as I can till they break apart. Mm-hmm. And the number fives, those are the ones I've been using. I save them and I cut them up. And those are the ones I use for making my markers in the garden.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So at least I got another use out of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My yogurt containers.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. They do work well for that because they're nice, white and easy to spot.
Mm-hmm.
So some alternatives. A good source of information is out of the UK, and it's called gardeningwithoutplastic.com. Gardeningwithoutplastic.com by Sally Next. And also, if you look in the garden catalogs supply section, you'll see some things that are non-plastic in there. So what are some alternatives that you're aware of, Kate, that you've maybe used or have thought about?
Well, I do a lot of recycling. Mm-hmm. I throw away very little, and I try to find new ways of using things. So like I said, the number fives, they get cut up into strips, or sometimes I even put holes in the bottom of those pots and use them as a potting alternative. So just try to find as many uses. As far as my hoop houses, I get recycled plastic. You go to the lumber yard, and they always have this beautiful, clear plastic that they're throwing away. And I use that to cover my hoops, because we have to have some plastic to cover our things to keep them a little bit warmer, especially these cold nights right now. And I found that plastic lasts better than the stuff I've bought in the past. I usually get about 4 or 5 seasons out of it and just keep saving it.
It's a thick enough mill.
It's thick enough, and it's clear enough that my plants love it. And, I can get, like I said, 5 more years out of it, so why not?
Why not? Yeah. And I think that that's an important thing to think about, is that when we are buying whatever supplies they are for our gardens, if we can buy local and or salvage, scrounge, repurpose, we're all pretty good at that. And we do have a lot of materials that are available. You can buy Remay, for instance, in town, and lots of other sorts of things. So with seed starting, what are some alternatives to plastic that you've
Recently we had that conference at the school, and they're showing how to do soil blocks, and that's a great one. I find if I ever run out of the plastic pots, I just keep recycling. But the day I run out, I am going to buy one of those seed block machines, where that way you don't use any kind of pot. You press the soil together, and you end up with these blocks, and you put your seeds in those.
Yeah.
And that would be a great alternative.
The people who have used them for a while really like them.
They do. Yeah. I know. I've looked at them many times. They are expensive to buy initially.
You can share.
You can share.
Now,
exactly.
if you make a pot, can you let it sit so that you can share this instrument, this tool? I mean, I could make like 100 pots and then pass it on to somebody else.
Exactly.
100 blocks, right.
Yeah,
and they will hold together even without the roots holding them together?
Mm-hmm. That's my understanding that, you pack them in real tightly and they will hold together, and they hold the moisture because it's a wet soil is what holds them together.
Okay.
And by the time the seed sprouts and the moisture, then the roots then will hold it together is my understanding.
Yeah, I think you'd probably, once you make the block, you'd want to go ahead and, spritz them, but also plant the seed in there. But then you've got your blocks and you can just pass the block maker on to whoever you're sharing it with.
Right. The thing that I liked is if you use that little bitty one, there's a square cut out in the next size, and you just drop that little
right
block.
Right in the center.
Yeah.
So
right
you don't
middle.
Have to, yeah, worry about that. Yes. I start my seeds in egg cartons, and I know a lot of people think that that's a bogus way to do it, but I've had really good success with it. I think the bottom line is whatever you're doing that works for you is what is good. There's also peat pots that you can purchase. A lot of those are in the supply catalogs. You can make pots out of newspaper. There's a way to kind of do an origami fold on that, and it works.
Toilet paper rolls.
Paper towel rolls and so on. You can just salvage those, and then you just cut the paper towel rolls so they're not, you know, really long and skinny. There's cow plop pots that you can get made out of cow manure, also in the catalogs.
There's the bamboo pots or coconut pots.
Yeah.
So there's lots of different kinds.
Yeah.
The only drawback to those is when you think about carbon footprint, those are getting shipped into here.
Right.
And so that's another whole thing to keep in mind. There's so many things to think about when you're doing this, but that is one of the things when you start talking about buying something that's had to be shipped here.
Right. Yeah. So that becomes a factor, right?
For me, it does.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I like the egg cartons, because they're available.
Exactly.
You know, you just save your own from the year, or just, you know, show up at the recycling center, and there's usually a big pile of them someplace.
And so what do you put that into after
When the roots start to come out of each little cell, then I very carefully peel off the outer part of the little egg cell, and then put it into a 4-inch pot.
Okay.
And she said, embarrassedly, plastic pot.
But you recycled it, right?
I recycled it. I've used it many, many, many times.
Yes.
Yeah. But we can also do things like transplanting to clay pots, which I think with plastic, we all kind of moved away from clay pots. But there's a lot of advantages to those in that they allow the roots to breathe more. In a dry climate, it's really hard to keep things moist in a clay pot. But that's not our problem here too much. But of course, then clay pots have to be brought up. We have some potters in town. Maybe they'll start making clay pots. Hint, hint.
Yeah, there'd be a thought.
We talked a little bit about cold frames and hoop houses needing to be covered with, and plastics are our best current alternative unless you go to glass. And you'd mentioned using the plastic from freight and lumber. What about mulch alternatives? What do you do for mulch?
Well, of course, I have my compost and those type of things that I'm using. The big thing I've been using more and more of is cardboard. I love cardboard. For when I start my beds, I'll build it on top of cardboard and use it as a weed block. But I've also been known to use cardboard just on top of things where I'm trying to keep things from coming in. I'll put cardboard down and bury it.
Okay.
I put straw, which is available locally, and I did this to keep my cat from going in my new beds. So I put straw all over my new beds, and I was wondering, maybe that will keep the slugs down too, because of the, you know, just dig a little hole and put your plant in there. And, you know, slugs, I don't know if they can climb on straw or not. It might deter them a bit.
I don't know. Well, you can report back to us on that as the season,
as the
season goes on. Yeah. And Blythe at the garden, at our garden conference here a few weeks ago, she talked about putting boards down.
Right.
And as a weed block, and then, you know, leaving just a narrow row in between a couple of boards for the seeds themselves to come up. So that's a possibility. You can also use natural fabric sheets, like made out of cotton or linen or wool or something like that. So clothes, towels.
I've been doing that with old sheets. I went through and cleaned out my cupboards this winter, and I have all these old cotton sheets, and I'm planning to spread it in all the places I don't want things growing up, put it down a couple layers thick to keep things from coming up.
Right, yeah. I'm about to tear out the carpet in my house, so I'm going to have a bunch of old carpet that I'm thinking about using, but I've kind of got question marks about the wisdom of that.
Yeah, I have a few, just because of the amount of chemicals in carpet.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I'd want that breaking down in my garden.
Yeah, that's a good point. So
between my beds, I put sawdust that's available
that's a good
locally.
Yeah, that's a great one. If you have a source for sawdust,
we all
chips,
do. Yeah.
yeah,
Yeah.
That can be a real good
free.
One.
Yeah, and new sawdust is fine mm-hmm. where you don't want anything to come up because it does absorb all of the nitrogen for a while, so you don't want to put it in a, directly in your garden, but it's great mm-hmm. on weed paths.
Right.
I've been putting down old sheets and things that I pick up on Sunday at the free part of the hospice sale.
Coming up.
Yeah,
coming
yeah.
Right
yeah.
And I'm saying look for.
Yeah, and put that down as a weed block and then cover it with straw. Some other people recommended putting down pieces of sheetrock. If you have any of old chunks of sheetrock around, it breaks down to a calcium yeah. carbonate, and it's okay. Craft paper works. Newspaper works. There's a biodegradable mulch that's available from Johnny's that's good for holding in the heat. So, I mean, sometimes we mulch for aesthetic, sometimes we mulch for weed block, sometimes we mulch to keep in the heat. So this biodegradable mulch from Johnny's, I know one of our occasional guests on the show recommended that. Huh. Yeah, yeah. So plant markers, Kate, you were talking a little bit about cutting up.
And number five, all those containers, I save them and just start cutting them up into strips. And
yeah.
Those work really well for me.
Yeah, and you can also use popsicle sticks, which mm-hmm. does mean you have to eat popsicles
or
ice cream on a stick. It's a sacrifice
that we make
for our garden. Yeah, but sometimes you have to do that. Raised beds, dryer tubs are available through Haynes Friends Recycling. Concrete footing tubes, like sauna tubes, half buried in the groundwork. Locally sourced
lumber, the rough cut lumber. That's what I build all my beds out of. I love the local lumber. It's perfect. There's no chemicals. There's nothing. It's just wood. The 2x12s make really nice raised beds. And once again, they're not recycled, but you don't have the carbon footprint either. It's all local.
Of the shipping.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's I think, always important to pay attention to. So when you're looking at materials, look for terms. These are terms that mean plastic. Polyester, polypropylene, any poly, nylon, all of those are types of plastic. So there's an increasing global awareness about the problems with plastic. We need to be thinking about alternatives, put customer and consumer pressure on companies to come mm-hmm. up with alternatives. For those of you trying to figure out what to do with a career, think about careers in green chemistry. And if you aren't a gardener, take advantage of our farmers market and other ways to eat locally. And I think we're out of time.
Whoops.
Pastime.
We should switch chairs here.
we always do that. I was just trying to sneak a couple extra minutes in on you there, Joni.
yeah. I'm the timekeeper, and I didn't notice. But, it's 9:02, and you're tuned to your community radio station. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
For the Garden Conversation, Melissa and Kate.
Okay, and we'll see you at the garden. Plant sale.
Plant sale, May 11th. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.